والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, your brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. School has started for a week or 2 weeks, so I'm going to start off with a little school story of myself. So I remember when I was younger, about 30 years ago, when my teacher assigned me a project, something that I needed to do research for, and this is probably the case for many of us. There was no concept of Google, right? There was no search engines, there were hardly any computers. Internet access was not very common. So in order to do research, where was the first place you would go in school? You'd go to the library. And in the library, there would be multiple varieties of encyclopedias, usually 10 volumes, 12 volumes, maybe more, right? And then you would go and take out, look for the letter and, you know, find the word that you're looking to research and read one and read the other, maybe photocopy the page, take some notes, find some other books, you know, go speak to the librarian, right? Actually, in my time, there was one computer they had in the office in the library, so you could go there and, you know, they had some sort of encyclopedia or some sort of resource on there so you could search the terms. So this was my experience, you know, with doing research pre-internet, pre-Google. And if you were fortunate, you had maybe the encyclopedia at home, so you didn't have to be dependent on the library. You could come home and you can, you know, do more research. The CD-ROM made the encyclopedia, in terms of printed volumes, obsolete. Okay, the CD came along. It was one, you know, Microsoft, was it Encarta, I think, right? It was one CD, and the entire encyclopedia was there. It was mind-boggling, right? This entire volume, right? Like 12 volumes, 15 volumes, so heavy, right? If you're moving or something, it was like a headache. If you had it in the basement or something, you know, it's like such a heavy, you know, valuable and expensive too. It wasn't cheap, right? It probably cost upwards of $1,000, right? If not more. And all of that in one CD-ROM, right? You just pop in the CD into your computer and the entire encyclopedia is there. And not just text, but of course videos and sounds and everything else as well, right? So it was revolutionary. It was mind-blowing. And then access to the internet and search engines, right? And high-speed internet basically made the CD-ROM obsolete as well. And today we find that knowledge is available at our fingertips. Not even fingertips, you can just ask. You can ask your virtual assistant and it will find information for you and tell you, right? So knowledge and information has become widely available, right? Easily accessible to almost, you know, I don't want to say everyone, but the majority of the world, or many people in the world who can easily access information. So you might think that, you know, from an Islamic perspective, that's, you know, a very positive thing, because in Islam we are encouraged to acquire knowledge. We are encouraged to become educated, and there are so many interesting things to learn about. So this is something to appreciate and to celebrate. And what I say to that is maybe, not necessarily. So today, my brothers and sisters, I want to take a few moments to explore the Islamic perspective on knowledge. Of course, this is relevant because the school year has started and the academic year has started. And, you know, maybe you have children who are thinking about careers. Maybe you're thinking about your own career and what you have studied already or what you're planning to study. So let's talk a little bit about knowledge. And indeed, there is no question that there is great encouragement to seek knowledge. In some cases, it's even obligatory, right? It's even obligatory. So generally, yes, we are encouraged, absolutely, to gain knowledge and to be educated. But it's not for, you know, just for any and every type of knowledge. There is some criteria. There are some guidelines. Not every type of knowledge is knowledge which we are encouraged to acquire. There are certain qualities, we can say, of the types of knowledge that is obligatory or that is praiseworthy to seek. So first of all, We find the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Sunan Ibn Majah. Jabir radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Salullah ilman nafi'a." Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge that is nafi'a, that is beneficial, from that gives you benefit. وَتَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ. And seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from knowledge without benefit. So this gives us a really important principle. First of all, you know, that there can be knowledge which is beneficial and which is not beneficial. Secondly, that we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge which is beneficial. But also, that there is a type of knowledge, or there is knowledge that can be so not beneficial, rather it can be so harmful, that you should be asking or seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from some such knowledge. Right? Generally we say ta'awwud, and we say a'udhu billah, right? We say what? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. We know how evil shaitan is. We seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. But in this case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, وَتَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from knowledge without benefit. Knowledge that does not give you benefit, meaning knowledge which can essentially end up being harmful for you. So we understand that not all knowledge is equal. There is knowledge that is beneficial, but there is also knowledge which is not beneficial, for which we should be seeking protection, seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it. Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu also related, as narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'." O Allah, I seek refuge. He's making dua. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit. And he goes on, "Wa min qalbin la yakhsha." And from a heart that is not reverent of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِن نَفْسٍ لَا تَشْبَعْ. From a soul that is not content. وَمِن دَعْوَةٍ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهَا. And from a supplication that is not answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for protection, seeking the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from multiple things, and he starts off with عِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعْ. A knowledge that is not benefit, that does not benefit. Now the scholars and our pious predecessors have stated that beneficial knowledge essentially is knowledge that leads to actions. What is it? Beneficial knowledge is knowledge which leads to actions. So simply learning, compiling data and information that makes us feel good, that makes us feel knowledgeable, and we don't really do anything with it, that's not really that's not what we're encouraged to do. That's not the purpose of being encouraged to seek knowledge. So ilm, knowledge is not really the goal, you can say, but rather it is the means to the goal. And what is the goal? It is seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is seeking success in the hereafter, first and foremost. So essentially, if knowledge does not make you a better Muslim, does not make you a better servant of Allah, does not make you a better person through your character and your worship, then it's not really benefiting to you. So what should knowledge do for us? What should be our intent and what should be the effect? So there could be different things, right? Because this was general. So diving a little bit deeper. So knowledge that helps bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That gives you the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel you are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a deeper appreciation for the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a stronger connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of this knowledge. Or knowledge that reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And all of this is dependent on intention. Okay, so for example, somebody who's studying the sciences, right? Studying biology, studying medicine, whichever other science they're studying, right? They're essentially studying the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And if they make the intention that I am studying this, and in the process of studying this, I want to be reminded of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to be reminded of the greatness of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beautiful and perfect design that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this universe with. So that can be a good thing then. Right? Or knowledge that helps you improve and rectify yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rectify yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of times, right, we are engaging in personal development. You're engaging in self-help material. Right? You're attaining development courses, right? Getting coached, a lot of stuff. And it's not necessarily bad, but is it really for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it because, you know, I want to be a better speaker. I want to be a better salesperson. You know, I want to be a better influencer on social media. You know, I want to have better sales. Not necessarily bad intentions or objectives if, you know, you channel it in the right way, right? If you're not doing it for fame, if you're doing it because you want to sustain your family, you want to earn a halal income and so on, right? So there's ways to navigate those intentions or tweak those intentions and make them permissible. But really, ideally, when we talk about beneficial knowledge, should be bringing you or bringing improvement inside of you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or at the very least, brings you some, you know, permissible worldly benefit. Okay, so maybe it's not anything directly related to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? But it's a worldly benefit that you get that is permissible and that you can use to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to serve His creation with the aim of earning His pleasure. Right? So it's important that whenever we think of knowledge, when we think of career choices, when we think of anything in terms of information and knowledge that is that we're going to take in, we try to link it as much as possible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We link it with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. As much as possible. Sure, everyone has strengths and weaknesses, has interests, so you don't want to be stuck doing, I firmly believe, you don't want to be stuck doing something you hate doing for the rest of your life as a career, right? I wouldn't encourage you to do that. So yes, you want to consider your choices, your preferences, you want to consider your interests, you want to consider your skills, but at the same time, you want to ideally couple it with ways of earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us, and I think it's a famous hadith, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu relates, recorded in Sunan ibn Majah, that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. That seeking of knowledge, the seeking of ilm is obligatory for every Muslim. The seeking of knowledge is obligatory for every Muslim. Now this does not mean that everyone must become a scholar, that everyone must excel in terms of their acquisition and their seeking of knowledge. Rather, it points us towards the obligation of learning the rules and regulations of the things which are obligatory and prohibited upon us. Right? So as an adult Muslim, what is required of me? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want for me in my situation? Right? So, what is required of me? How do I do it? What can I do? What can't I do? Right? So of course, there are some types of knowledge which is obligatory for everyone. Right, as adults, as Muslim adults. So when it comes to the essential worship, rules and guidelines, regulations regarding wudu as an example, of ritual purity, of tahara, of salat, of offering prayer, of giving zakat, of the five pillars, all the things which are obligatory upon us, of fasting and so on and so forth. Secondly, also, what rules apply to you in your situation? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from you, and how does He want you to behave in the situation that you are in? Okay, so you're a business person, mashallah, very good. Okay, honest business is, you know, like the best, the means of income with the most barakah, inshallah, right? Honest, halal business. So you're in business. Okay, so what rules apply to you, right? What guidelines apply to you? What type of transactions are halal? Which ones are not? What type of business should you be engaged in? Which types of business and transactions should you not be engaged in? Right? So finding out the rules that apply to you in a particular situation. If you're in finance, same thing. You're a doctor. You studied medicine. You're dealing with patients. Okay, what sort of rules apply to you? What are the ethics and guidelines? Islamic teachings from dealing with illness and dealing with patients. And you're married. Okay, so what are the guidelines regarding marriage that apply to you, right, in your role as a husband or as a wife? You do social interactions. What are the guidelines of social interactions, of dress, of responsibilities that you have upon yourself, and so on and so forth? You need to buy food. Okay, so what are the guidelines of halal and haram, right? Particularly pertaining to the location you are in, right? So all of this type of knowledge becomes obligatory upon a person because it applies to them directly. It directly applies to them in terms of their situation, their circumstances, what they do and where they are, and it relates to their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the bare minimum, brothers and sisters, that we're required to know, that is obligatory to learn. But there are great virtues for going beyond and seeking beneficial knowledge. And remember what we discussed about what actually qualifies as beneficial knowledge. Now the question is, what's the best way to learn? Okay, because listening to this, you know, you're saying, okay, you know, I should maybe take some steps to learn this type of knowledge. Because let's face it, right? I'll be honest. Like, I think for the vast majority of people, right, our focus on education is really to earn a living and to establish our careers. And if you have the right intention, that's not a bad thing, right? Because especially the men are required, right, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sustain their families, to support their families with a halal income, right? So to be concerned about your career and to spend time studying and building skills so that you can trade and you can work and you can earn a halal income is not a bad thing. You can have that intention, and that's actually a good thing. You're actually, you know, fulfilling a responsibility and obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon you. Right? But is that really it? Is that going to be the limit of our knowledge? Is that the only thing we're going to be seeking knowledge for? Or are we going to try to go beyond and increase our knowledge in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has impact upon us, that is positive, that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that makes us more useful for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can serve Allah azza wa jalla and we can serve His creation, right? So question, best way to learn, right? Is it reading? Is it listening? You know, is it online courses, right? That's a big question that often comes up because, you know, online learning is huge. I think after COVID, maybe people are realizing the value of in-person learning. So my brothers and sisters, the divine method, the prophetic method, is to learn from a teacher. Is to learn from a teacher. This is what we learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first word was iqra, right? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read. But that word was taught. That word was taught, right? And it was continuously sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through a teacher, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the teacher for the companions radiallahu anhum. Right? And then they taught those who followed them. Right? So the indication here is that reading is obviously important. Right? Books, reading is important because the first word is iqra, right? So of course absolutely reading is important. But having a teacher is equally important. Having a teacher is just as important because spiritual knowledge especially, the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is said that it goes heart from heart to heart. Where does it go? Or how does it transmit? From heart to heart, because it's spiritual in nature. Right? It is spiritual in nature. Yes, of course, it requires the use of the mind. Yes, of course, it has an intellectual component to it. But the essence of it is spiritual. And spirituality has to do with the heart, has to do with the qalb. Right? So it goes from heart to heart because it is supposed to have an effect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Innama, it is only those who are knowledgeable among His servants that have the khashiyah, that have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So here we understand that having knowledge, right, true knowledge, should have an effect. What should it do? It should have an effect, and the greatest effect it can have is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a true alim, a true scholar, should be one who is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And true beneficial knowledge should have this effect. And the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then impacts every action and behavior of the believer. Right? It has a holistic impact. It has an all-encompassing impact because a person who is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is fearful of standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and has that at the forefront of their hearts and their minds, their actions are going to be impacted accordingly, because they know they have to face accountability one day. Right? The day when even the prophets, the anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, are going to be afraid. So of course, having that understanding and having that belief will certainly impact a person's behavior, their actions. So my brothers and sisters, ideally seek a teacher who is a person of knowledge and piety. A person of knowledge and piety. When we talk about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we talk about the knowledge of deen, the knowledge which is going to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, you want to have, especially if you're learning the various branches of religious knowledge, seek a teacher who is not only a person of knowledge, but also a person of piety. And a true person of piety is not going to announce it. That doesn't happen in our tradition. Right? A person of piety, of knowledge, is not going to have degrees and certificates lined up on their walls when you go to see them. No, you're probably going to find them at the masjid, and you probably won't even realize that they're a person of knowledge. Okay, so it's a little bit harder than in the Western tradition, right? So one of the main, you know, differences between the Western and the classical Islamic tradition is that, right? Is that a person's accomplishments, their knowledge, their taqwa is not something which is advertised. You have to search for it. You have to look for it. Right? It takes a bit of effort. You have to ask around. You have to go and experience, meet people, listen to people, right? Listen to lectures, listen to talks, and you have to search for it. You have to find it. Right? It's not openly advertised, or at least it shouldn't be. Right? So you want to be taking your knowledge from a person of knowledge, a person of taqwa, who is a lover of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, knowledge can be harmful as well, of course. Let's talk about that briefly. If it leads a person to haram, or something which is harmful, a type of knowledge perhaps that creates doubts with regards to faith, or leads to criminal activity, or opens the door to a particular type of sin, right? Imagine, a person acquires a certain type of knowledge, and because of that knowledge, that information, they actually end up committing haram. They are introduced to a new type of sin, and then they continue sinning for the rest of their lives. They become addicted to that sin. Right? This is harmful knowledge. It can never be beneficial. Right? Knowledge can also be harmful if it leads to spiritual ills. So if it leads a person who becomes knowledgeable to becoming a show-off, they started engaging in riya or kibr, in arrogance. Right? I remember someone telling me that knowledge, right, is like a high-dose, high-voltage electricity. And if you don't have something to control it, right, if you don't have a mechanism to control it, it will end up burning you spiritually. So a person learns, but they become a show-off. And they become arrogant and prideful. Right? It burns them spiritually, even though they have the knowledge. So that is why tazkiyah is so important, so that we have the regulator, the spiritual regulator, so that the influx, the surge of knowledge, just like an electricity surge. Huh? What happens if there's a thunderstorm, or all of a sudden there's a surge of electricity? It's going to burn your electronics, right? If you don't have protection, it's going to burn your equipment. It's going to fry it, right? So similarly, the heart is the same way. If knowledge comes in, high knowledge, high, you know, level of knowledge coming in, but there's nothing to control that voltage. Right? It's going to end up burning a person spiritually. So that is why we have tazkiyah, the importance of rectifying and controlling oneself and being aware of one's feelings, so that as one acquires knowledge, they are not being affected in a negative way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Of course, it can also be harmful if it is done with the wrong intention. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever seeks knowledge to impress the scholars, to argue with the foolish, or to attract the attention of people, Allah will admit him into the hellfire." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Seeking knowledge to impress the scholars, to argue with the foolish, especially social media nowadays, or to attract the attention of people. Right? These are big no-nos when it comes to knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ also said, "Whoever seeks knowledge that should be sought for the sake of Allah Almighty, but only to gain some worldly benefit, he will never know the fragrance of Jannah on the day of resurrection, right? So to use the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge that is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, the knowledge of deen, for purely worldly benefit, this is also something which has been prohibited for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and forgive us all. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true bestower of knowledge. Turn to Him and do not forget Him and His pleasure when seeking knowledge. Make dua as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to ask increase in nothing else except knowledge, except ilm. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua, and we end with that. Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani wa 'allimni ma yanfa'uni wa zidni 'ilma. O Allah, benefit me from that which you taught me, and teach me that which will benefit me and increase me in knowledge. My brothers and sisters, do an audit of all your studies that you have done so far. Do an audit of anything that you continue to learn or information that you continue to absorb, and see how it fits in this criteria. How beneficial is it, or is it not beneficial? What effect is it having on you spiritually? And how can you change that to improve it so that you continue on the path of seeking knowledge for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us purity in our hearts and our minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge, and may He protect us from all types of knowledge which is harmful for us. Ameen.